and I'm going to welcome our guest speakers. And I'm going to read a quick bio. So it's Peter, who'll be speaking, and then also Marie-José, his wife. And they are missionaries in Haiti, which is really exciting. They've been back here in Canada for about 2 months, kind of going around, speaking, encouraging different churches in the area. So they're born here in Montreal. And so they have, let's see, so both Peter and Marie-José are working with children since their youth. And they've been doing day camps, and they've been doing babysitting, and then also here in the church as well. And then during their youth, they both felt a call to missionary work. And at the age, and then as they, before coming to Christ at the age of 27 years old, they kind of felt that call. And over 20 years ago, at the age of 33, they both responded to the call, and they left Quebec City, they went off to Bible school in Montreal, and they even left their jobs. They even left their jobs to kind of continue with this. They raised 4 kids who are now adults. 3 of them are married. They have 2 grandchildren and a third one on the way in February. That's awesome. Congratulations. So they've ministered all across Quebec and New Brunswick and now, as I said, in Haiti. And so we're really excited to have you guys with us. So we want to give you guys a big round of applause and welcome. Welcome.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here. It's our first time here. So this is going to be an interesting meeting because I'm to preach and to present within a few minutes. And I'll try to do that as best as possible. When I come to a church, I'm always listening to what the Lord is telling me so I can use something to connect better with the congregation. And I really liked this idea. Because I gave out also a connect card, but it's not written connect card. There's a picture of my wife and I, and if you need to get a copy of the card that we gave out, please pick up one at the welcome station before you leave. It has a picture of my wife and I, but it's our connect card. But I like the idea of connect card so much that I think next year I'm going to put on it connect card. So it's a great opportunity. And I think that's what church is all about, connecting. We are called to connect with one another. And we did a beautiful moment of connecting a few minutes ago when we're all standing up meeting each other. And that's to continue outside of the church, one with the other, and one with others who are lost. Because we do have something more precious than anything that this earth can give us. We are to share Christ with our neighbors. Amen. Amen. And we don't have any trouble with that in Haiti, because in Haiti, it's an amazing environment where you can share the Word of God with everybody. Haiti doesn't need more missionaries. There's a pastor on every corner. It's incredible how many, there's pastors in Haiti everywhere. But they're very much disconnected. So that means the church is not advancing as well as it should be. But that's one of the challenges that we do have in Haiti. So this morning I'm going to share with you, maybe we can just move on to the next slide. I'm going to share with you a bit of history of where our ministry began. We just spent 9 months in Haiti. This year we'll be spending 10 months in Haiti. And last year was not the first time we went to Haiti. We prepared to go to Haiti. We prepared as missionaries. We followed the PAOC missionary program to become missionaries, and they encouraged us to go to Haiti once. Actually, we went to Haiti 3 times before going to Haiti. Why did we do this? Because we want to know what the Lord was calling us to do and where we would start our ministry. One of the things that we learned in Haiti is that the life cycle in Haiti does not work as well as our life cycle here in Canada. For most of you who brought up your children in Canada, Quebec, Ontario, you had no problem seeing a bright future for your children. You did not see their life stopping after elementary school or high school or even after university. You could see a future for your children because you live in a context that's, we live in a beautiful country at all levels. I just traveled over 7,000 kilometers the last 2 months. I can tell you, we live in a beautiful country. I went all the way up north to Ontario, to Brunswick, New Brunswick, to Gaspé. Beautiful. Prosperous. Our children, they have it made for them for the future, right? But in Haiti, the life cycle, as you can see here, stops abruptly at a certain point from what I can see and what the Lord was showing me. Here in Canada, we give birth to our children. They grow up. I'm not going to read the whole circle, but you can understand that our life cycle works well until we pass away. And I would like also to offer to the family who passed, whose husband, father passed away, my most sincere condolences. But that gentleman now is in the presence of the Lord. His life cycle is going really well. Ours, we have a bit of trouble with ours, right? We're going through life. We're going through bumps. As Pentecostals, I don't know if you know the French word for Pentecostals, say pancoutsis, pound coat. So that's, all right? So as we go through life cycle, we're going through the mountains and valleys and mountains and valleys, pound coat, okay? But we have the Lord, so we're getting through it by His grace, His power, His Holy Spirit. But in Haiti, what I saw was that the life cycle stops, if we can go to the next slide, after they finish high school. You have to understand, high school finishes in grade 13 in Haiti. If elementary school finishes in grade 9. So once you finish grade 9, you have the opportunity of doing your ministry exam, and then you have the opportunity of going to high school. When you finish high school, for most of the students, they're close to their 20s. They've just done grade 13. A lot of them are in their 20s because they missed a few years of school. Only about 50% of the children in Haiti get a chance to go to school. What does that mean in numbers? About a quarter of the population. About a quarter of the population, half the population is below 25. There's 10 million people in Haiti. Half are below the age of 25. So that's about the schooling age years. About 50% of the children do get a chance to go to school. That means about 2 million something kids do get to go to school in Haiti. So they're all going to school because they're looking for a brighter future. But when they finish high school, I ask around, what do they do? There's very little full-time jobs, as we would consider a full-time job, after having done a number of years of studies, right? So when they finish high school, their opportunity of going to university is very low because the places are limited. So when you finish high school, you're thinking, I'm going to university. And those that do go to university get a nice degree. But the percentage of students that can get themselves into work after is terribly low. One domain, like nursing, about 10% of the 4,000 students do find jobs. Here in Quebec, to give you an example, 100% of our nursing students already have jobs before they finish their studies. They're in their last months, and they already have a job waiting for them. In Haiti, 10%. So all those that went to become university students, what's the percentage of work waiting for them? Very low. So what we saw is that sending them to high school to go to university to get a job is not the best way of doing things. So what the Lord has showed us, and when we shared that with other ministries in Haiti, everybody's starting to see things differently now, is that we have to bring them into trades. We can't send them all off to university. They have to learn trades. They have to learn to do things with their hands. So few students in Haiti in high school have a chance to put their hands to work, either in labs, with equipment, with tools, even sometimes with pencils and pens. We've been into schools where you're in the classroom with the little ones, they got a book, if they got a book, and no writing material. So children, when they usually finish high school, don't know how to do things with their hands. Now, if you compare that with a Quebecer or a Canadian, there's such a difference. When we finished high school, how many of us already had a job? I had multiple jobs before finishing high school. I worked with tools with my father. I worked with a lawnmower, snowblower. I've had a chance to work, not work, but to drive a car, drive a motorcycle, a mobilette. I did so many things with my hands, I can't even imagine to enumerate everything I did with my hands. But as a Haitian, when they finish high school, they've never used their hands. And I know it's true because I did this presentation in a Haitian church in Montreal, and the pastor, after I finished my presentation, said, Peter said right. He says, when I finished high school, this is a Haitian pastor in Montreal who studied in Haiti. He said, when I finished high school, I didn't know how to do anything with my hands. So we want to bring to these children means of getting a better education so they can do something with their life. And that's, from this point of view, that's where we developed our mission statement for our ministry. So if we can go to the next slide. And the next one. Our mission statement is this. We want to sow the word of God into the hearts of the children and equip youth to become future leaders in Christ who will rebuild a new Haiti. Because we can't do things in Haiti like the international community is trying to do things in Haiti, from the top up, going down. They bring in so much money into Haiti. It's out of this world. And they bring it in from the top, and they're trying to work it down to the kids. It's not working. They've been doing it for over 20 years. Billions and billions of dollars have gone into Haiti. And when you go into the streets, when you go into the countryside and you look at the children, what's impacting their lives? It's not the international help. So we as Christians have to come into Haiti and work with the children. And the Lord, when we were there, called my wife. And he said to her, it's through this generation. She was looking at children one day and the Lord spoke to her. He said, it's through this generation I will do a change in Haiti. Amen. So working with children. And with that optic, when we went to Haiti, we said, Lord, find us a place to stay. Our objective when we left to go to Haiti was not to build a ministry, not to build buildings, but to interconnect different ministries to work at starting a trade school, bringing the word of God, bringing the values of the Christian church into Haiti, and to help them rebuild from the bottom up with the children. So we went to Haiti looking for a place to stay. That was our second and third trip to Haiti. So we connected with about 10, 15 ministries in Haiti, got to know them, got to know their needs, and we identified one that had, actually two that had similar thoughts as us. The first one, where we didn't go, just to give you an example, was an orphanage that had started about 10 years ago with one child, and today they have 200. So it grew fast. They started with children, some of them were about 8 years old. So 10 years later, they're 18. They're finishing high school. And a minister, who's a Haitian-born minister, said to me, I cannot send this child into the streets because the people that are partnershipping with this child, when they get to the age of 18, when they finish high school, he says they don't sponsor the children anymore. So I have to let them go. And he says, my heart is broken. I can't send this child out in the streets. He's not equipped to go into the streets and to start his own life. So when I was speaking to him about a trade school, his eyes were bright open going, yeah, that's what we need. We were in another organization, which was a community. It was built by a Quebecer and a man from France. They started a ministry after the earthquake. They brought together 8 families who lost everything in the earthquake, and some of these families also lost the husband. So he brought them together, bought a piece of property in the countryside, built a community for these families, started a new life to impact them with the Word of God as a community. All of these families knew the church, a Christian church, brought up their children, but they had lost everything through the earthquake, and here they are now in a community. They started a school with 30 children about 10 years ago. In September, because of the children from the zone around this community that are coming to the school, we will be receiving about 300 children into our school. Now, what brought us there was God. It was simple. We had a choice between two places, one in an orphanage with this new community, with the 30 kids and the families and the 300 students. And we didn't roll a dice to see where we're going to go. We let the Lord guide us and the closed doors and open doors. And this is where we're staying. It's called Anatot. Many churches in the Quebec region know of the ministry called Anatot. And this is where the Lord has sent us to dwell. So we live in this big, beautiful, luscious house because they built a big house for the missionaries. You believe that, right? We have a guest room. And our office is another guest room. And we eat in a community kitchen. And we have a community washroom and shower and everything like that. And then we had to get used to all the animals, the bugs, the spiders bigger than your hands, the mosquitoes that are incredible, the sound, and to live with nothing. And to add to that, all the problems of getting involved with a new culture. We live in a community where the founder and his wife do not stay in Haiti all year long. So we're the only white couple living in this community, and we're left to ourselves to live in this community with all these children all the time. And then you say to yourself, how do you get used to all that? The culture change, the culture shock, the pouring rain, that when it rains so hard that you're having supper and you can't even speak to your wife because the roof is made of aluminum and the pouring rain is battering on it so loud that you can't even speak to your wife. Good. And then, I have to make you laugh. This is so funny. How many of you can honestly say you are dependent on internet? Okay, we can't say that as Christians because we're only dependent on Christ, right? Okay, really. Now, we all probably have internet at home. I work enormously with internet because all the communication I do with here in Quebec and even in Haiti, I need internet. And we moved into this community. Can you imagine? We're up in the mountains in a jungle region. We have high-speed fiber optic internet. We don't have electricity. But we do have solar energy with batteries. So the thing works because we generate our own electricity. But the city doesn't provide us electricity yet. We didn't have water, which is nice. Water from the city, high-speed internet, that's great. But it died. Because the neighbor, when he was cutting his sugar cane, cut through the wire because the wire was going through his field. 2 weeks without internet. Can you believe that? Can you imagine living 2 weeks without internet? 2 weeks without your mobile phone? Or 2 weeks without the television or the radio? Can you cut off media with the world for 2 weeks and tell me how you feel? Yeah. Yeah, right. Will you survive? But how? 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 How do you live through all of these changes? Because after 1 month of being in Haiti, if I didn't have something to hold on to, I would have been back. It's like, goodbye, this is over. The culture clash, the humidity. You think it's hot here in Montreal? Please come and visit us in Haiti. It's hot and humid, and we're living in a jungle region. It's incredible. Just before leaving to come back to Montreal, I was weighing myself. I had already lost 15 pounds over 9 months. And I'm not the type of person that sweats. So when I'm sitting at my computer and my tummy is all wet, I know it's hot. So how do you survive? You need something to hold on. And this is where the Lord showed me it would be something that would impact the church here in Quebec. This Bible verse, hold on to it. It'll get you through all the mountains and valleys, toutes les pentes et les côtes, all the difficulties, because you and I are both living difficult times. It's not just because you're living here in Quebec, you're not burying a loved one. You're not seeing somebody fall sick. You're not seeing somebody lose a job. You're not struggling with something. We're all struggling with something. Because as missionaries, we're given grace to do the work we're doing. But as Christians here in Quebec, you're given the same grace to do what you're doing here in Quebec. So how do you hold on? How do you get through all those things that are so difficult to get through? You hold on to the Bible verse that I'm going to show you. It says here, no soldier on service entangles himself in the affairs of this life that he may please him who enrolled him as a soldier. Do any of you know soldiers, real, real soldiers, who've studied to be a soldier, who've gone on to Afghan or somewhere else? Okay. If you spend time with them and you analyze their life, it's very interesting what you learn. They don't entangle themselves with the affairs of this life because they got to stay focused. If not, they're going to die. And they're there to please the person that enrolled them. If not, they're going to lose their job. But they're called to be a soldier. It's a calling. You don't just say, I'm going to become a soldier, and you go and become a soldier. Good luck. Because you got tests to do, you got exams to do, and you got to be evaluated before you join. But when you do all that, and then you go to your basic training camp, something changes in your life. Changes, not transform. Okay? So they become changed, and they're now focused on what they have to do. But in the next Bible verse, we're called soldiers, as a good soldier of Christ. So there's something in that word and in those Bible verses that is given to us as a church that we can hold on to get through all those pound and coat, all those difficulties in life, all those mountains and valleys that we have to go through. How do we stay focused? We got to stay focused on not getting entangled with the things of this life. I've traveled across Quebec, and I've met Christians of different walks of life. I've stayed in places where you would look at this house and you say, wow, these Christians are rich. And then I've stayed in other places, like one of my child's apartment, and you say, wow, he's poor. If we're rich Christians, if we have things, if we have jobs, if we have opportunities, if we have a whole bunch of things, cars and motorcycles and skidoos and all that, if that is your priority in this life, you're not going to get through the difficulties easily. But if Christ is on the throne of your heart and not all your things, you're going to get through everything. There will not be any trouble because Christ is first. And all the problems that attack you or take away your internet or take away your water. We live in Haiti. When the city cuts off the water supply because it's broken or somebody damages the plumbing and we have no water and it goes on day after day after day after day, our water reserves, because we have them on top of our buildings, they start to dwindle. And you start thinking, oh, this is not going to be fun. No more shower in a hot country. Or we have no more water to wash things, like our clothes. Or no more water to clean our dishes. Then we start struggling. And how are we going to live through this? Well, as my wife did, she takes a bunch of children. She sits down with them and says, let's pray. So she has the children experiment prayer. And then they see how God responds to prayer. Then we're sowing hope into the hearts of these children, God answers prayer. So that's a lesson for us. Prayer and dependency on God again today, again tomorrow, and keep doing that to the end of your life. And you will be pleasing Him who enrolled you, and He will pave the way through all the difficulties of your life And when you're there about to say, I'm gone, this is over. We lived that in Haiti through the conflicts, cultural conflicts that will have you pouring out your, pulling out your hair. And those conflicts that drive you up a wall. Do any of you get driven up the wall or is it only me? Okay, thank you for the few hands that lifted up. But then how to get through that? By holding on. Because this Bible verse talks about vision. We need a vision for our life. We need a reason for why we are here and what we're doing and why we're going through this struggle. Some of you are probably struggling today and saying, how am I going to get through? Hold on to Christ. Hold on to this Bible verse. Meditate it. I have this Bible verse on my computer screen for over a year and a half now. That's what got me to get through my first 9 months in Haiti. Praise the Lord. So what we do in Haiti? Well, our first year, we thought we were going to be doing language and culture. But I'd like to just give you an expose in the next few minutes of what we've done in Haiti and where we're going. So we did many things. Now, how many of you believe that I dug that hole? Not me. But I thought I'd make a nice picture. We were digging a foundation for a new part of the school where we'd be starting our first high school year, which is grade 10. And I helped with the construction in terms of organizing the construction, which means I just didn't do language and culture. I also helped by investing my knowledge into building a new building for our high school. We also did accounting. Just come back to the first image, please. We did accounting. I did electronics. And we also did renovation work. My wife did a lot of the accounting. I supervised the accounting. I was in charge of organizing all the purchases for the new construction. So we were quite busy in our first year in Haiti. During our first year in Haiti, we also received a donation from Quebec of computers, which is the next picture. And this is an amazing story because in our high school, we do need computers to teach computer in grade 10. Most of the schools in Haiti teach computer science, theoretically, no computers. We have the opportunity of doing this with computers. So when I got them, I started a classroom after school with five students and three teachers that wanted to learn. I chose the five students with the principal who's standing next to me. And we chose five students to invest in their life, to have them learn computer science, because I want them to help me next year with a specific project where I need students that know how to use a computer. So I taught them how to type and then how to use a computer. And then I used these students to teach the second classroom, which is this classroom here. So the students in my first classroom taught the students in the second classroom how to type and how to use a computer. So I'm starting the multiplication process. We multiply as Christians, but we also have to multiply with our knowledge. We do that with our children because we have resources. The Lord is providing us resources to do the same thing in Haiti. This is an amazing time. In September, since we are in high school, we've been faced with a situation where we're going to have more students than computers. This summer, we got a second set of computers sent to us. So we had about 10 computers, but we needed 20. So throughout the summer, as we presented our presentation, I was mentioning to churches, if you have an old laptop to donate, please give it to us. And we've picked up so far about 15. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have other challenges to face in the next few months. How are we going to get them all to run on electricity? But hey, God has provided all this up to now. Pray that the computers come with me to Haiti through the plane. So we still need prayer. We still need ideas. We still need things. But that's okay. The Lord is opening a path. So we're going forward. We're following the path the Lord has given to us. We want to start a trade school. We got computers. You see where this is going? This is going great. I have knowledge in computer science. I have knowledge in electricity, magnetism. My first degree was a Bachelor of Science degree. And in September, I will be teaching science in this school. So the Lord has provided everything. And we're just following this path. Just like all of us, the Lord has prepared a path for each of you. And he's equipped you with Bible verses to be able to get through every challenge. So the Lord is calling you to do something, either missionary work, teaching, doctor, lawyer. Is the Lord calling you to be a truck driver? You'll have challenges as anybody else. But the Lord is going to give you Bible verses to help you to get through everything that you need to get through so that you can grow. Amen? So we'll go to the next picture. So this is my wife working with the children. The Lord has called my wife to work with the little ones, to sow the word into their heart, and she's having a great time because there's no barriers. She thought she would have to go out to different schools to meet the principals and say, can I speak to the children? And the schools are all open to that. But now she's living in a community where there's 300 children, and the Lord has brought her into a position of assistant teacher in kindergarten. So she's sowing the word all day long, which is a great opportunity for her because that's what the Lord was calling her to do. The path was open. She took a step of faith, and the Lord brought her there where she should be. It's great to see. And the greatest thing is to see what the Lord has done in terms of transforming my wife's life over 9 months of being in Haiti. My wife is not the social type of person. She's more réservé, reserved, likes to read. And to see her being stretched by the Lord, having to be more open and going towards the children, going towards people, to see her grow in Christ is incredible. Glory to God. Amen. Next, we received a donation last year to build a new guest room from Quebec. And since I'm there and I know a bit of construction, I know things about science, I was able to supervise and help, and we constructed on our property a new guest room. Thank you, Lord, for the donation from Quebec, because we need more room, because in the next few years, we know we'll be receiving more groups from Quebec to come and visit us. What we're looking for in the future, not tomorrow, in the future, are people that are going to come to Haiti and help us teach courses in a trade school. So if you have any background training in electricity, plumbing, small motors, computer science, electronics, please let us know. And when the information comes available that we'll be receiving groups in the future, please come, because what you can do is to help teach during maybe a week or two what you know in terms of computer science, electricity, motors, all things towards a trade school. And if you say, well, I'm a farmer, that's great, because we did a farming project this year that was out of this world. And that's, I think, is one of the next pictures. Just move on. So that's electronics. We'll keep going. Next picture. We hired a farmer to farm our land because we have a piece of property and we want to be able to grow and to show people that live around us that you can do more than just sugarcane. Sugarcane is slowly dying in Haiti because they keep repeat cultivating the ground and keep repeating the same thing year after year, and they're not resting the ground. And they're depleting the ground. The stock is getting smaller. They're making less money. So we have to help our neighbors. So we started at home. We grew so many things on our property, and people would say, no, you couldn't because there was exploitation of sugar cane for so many years. You can't do anything with it. We found the right people. A Haitian-born, went to school, became an agronomist, I think is a word in English, agronome in French. And he did beautiful things with the property. And we took all this fresh vegetables and we got fruit also, and we started selling it on the market. So we want to be able to show the people we can do other things with our property. Amen. It's great. So we're not just there to do a trade school. We're there to preach, to invest in the church. We have a church in our community, and we have all the people in our community that come to church. We have some people from the zone around us that come to our church. And then, like I mentioned, we have churches on every other street corner, so people know where to go to church. But not only do they have to learn about the good word of God, la bonne nouvelle, they also have to learn about grace. That's another thing that they need to learn. And we're just there hoping that we can pour out into their lives what we learn through the grace of God so they can have a personal relationship with Jesus and not just a relationship with the Word of God. Amen. So my wife and I would like to thank you very much for having taken the time to come to church this morning and to listen to us and that we can share with you what the Lord is doing in Haiti. He's doing amazing things. If I had 5 hours to share with you, I would take it to 5 hours. But we had this amount of time to share with you this morning. So thank you for your time, your interest. And if you would like more information about our ministry, please pick up a card as you leave, our Connect card. And thank you very much, Pastor Jay and Pastor Matthew, for receiving us this morning. It was a pleasure to meet you, Jay, again. And Matt, it was a pleasure meeting you. Thank you very much.